Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to worship with you on another day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies remain new each and every day. If your hands get dirty, what do you do? If your face gets dirty, what do you do? If your clothes get dirty, what do? You get the point. But do we? How often does our mind and heart, our mouth and actions get dirty with the dirt called sin, but we don't wash up? If we see the value of washing up our hands and our feet from the earthly dirt and even our clothes, can we see the value of the ongoing washing needed when it comes to our sin? Church, but not just this place, in a way, as our spiritual laundromat, where God's cleansing grace can wash over us and point out, remind us that we are washed clean through Jesus. And we have that opportunity once again today. God be praised. I invite your attention now to our invocation. It's on page 3 of our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship him.
I direct you to page
14 of our service bulletin as we continue with the hymn, By Faith.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we know God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as his only sacrifice for our
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and will purge us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church and all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Samuel 3, God is talking to us. The question is, are we listening? The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How many cylinders is your faith running on? Do you have evidence to back up your answer? A reading from Holy Scripture, Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. A question to ask ourselves ongoing: what is that which serves as a distraction to keep us from being in the Word as we would like? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God our Father, as well as through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by God's grace not only calls us to faith, but calls us to action. Do you know how many cylinders your vehicle has? Do you even care? Perhaps you have a vehicle that doesn't have cylinders, but don't let that miss the point. When do you pay attention to how many cylinders your vehicle has, if you even do pay attention? Well, when your vehicle starts acting sluggish or backfiring or misfiring, you might question that something is wrong with your car. At least some of us might. Or we'll just pretend we don't notice anything and hopefully it'll take care of itself on its own. Or we can go and get it checked out and try to get the vehicle to run again as it's designed to do so. Now, keeping our faith running on all cylinders has a similar concept. In order to live as designed, we want to recognize when we are not living as designed. We want to recognize the warning signs and do what it takes to correct the problem, to make sure that all cylinders are running at peak performance. Now, to do so is not really that difficult, and it's not going to cost us money, contrary to when it comes to maintaining a vehicle. That can cost some money to maintain. Now, true, we can live our faith not running on all cylinders, but why would we want to do that? Because keep in mind, taking that approach, well, that could go sideways on so many levels. Thus, the Lord has great advice for believers of all time. Advice on a very important truth. And He even provides the means to carry out this truth, this advice that He puts before us, noting the benefits of doing this. And so we ask God, the Holy Spirit, then to help us keep the faith that He has given to us, works in us, to help that run on all cylinders. And what follows then in the words of Colossians is not only what that looks like, but also then the benefits of the ongoing maintenance and care of the faith that we have been given, that trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Thankfully, faith grasps again by the work of the Spirit what God has done for us. And so by grace, faith given and also then maintained holds firmly connected to Jesus, the one who's at the heart of that faith. Faith again possible due to God's grace, the work of Jesus, possible due to the work and evidence of God's grace among us. At the heart of that grace evident among us is the gift of God through His Son, Jesus. A gift that none of us deserve, but out of His mercy, God has given us His Son to carry out the plan of salvation. As that last song emphasized, we go to the other mountain where we see what Jesus has done for us, that gift from God, when He declared, "It is finished." And thankfully, Jesus went to that cross to do what we cannot do. Because we do have to admit that more often than not, our faith is not running, our life is not running on all cylinders, not living as God has designed us, called us to live. Too often we get caught up in how we want to have our life go and want God to be okay with it. And even if God doesn't sign off on that, well, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Whether that be living together outside of marriage or lifestyles that are not in line with God's word, or taking the life of the unborn. And those sins don't have to be as evident and blatant as that. The sins that take place in our mind, the thoughts that we have, not necessarily against God Himself, but really it all goes back to God, but the harboring of anger against someone, the refusal to forgive someone, to love, to be compassionate, to be kind. The list goes on and on of why we needed God's mercy to be evident to us in the gift of His Son, and why Jesus needed to go to the cross and declare, "It is finished." All those sins have been paid for, washed clean through His blood, so that we can have a faith that runs on all cylinders, not just now, but into eternity. To have that gift as our very own, God has called us. And notice how what we are called, we are called His chosen people, holy and dearly loved. God has chosen you and has called you to be His very own. And through the means of grace has made that possible. How often do we stop to contemplate the gift of God for us as an individual? How He has called us, set us apart. How we are holy and dearly loved. That we have a sense of belonging. I mean, human beings want to belong. We want to feel like a part of a family. And whose family better to be of than God's? Who has true love, unconditional love for us. And went to great lengths to prove it in the gift of His Son. Give thanks for the fact that you are God's chosen, holy and dearly loved. But that's not an excuse not to run on all cylinders. But rather the motivation to want to run on all cylinders all the more. Realizing that this side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect people. But it doesn't become an excuse not to strive to live the life that God wants us to live. And so the ongoing maintenance and care that is needed so that our faith can run on all cylinders. Realizing that through that gift of faith, centered in Jesus Christ, doors have been opened to us. As we mentioned last week, the throne of God has been opened to us. Jesus, our mediator, gives us access to God, our Heavenly Father, to go to Him and ask for forgiveness, to go to Him with what's on our heart and our mind, to help us be more compassionate and kind and forgiving and so on. He's given us a hope that's not just for this life, but for the life to come, that there is something better worth holding on to and holding out for. Thus, the importance then of the ongoing maintenance and care so we don't lose sight of that hope and that door that has been opened up to us. And that ongoing maintenance and care, it comes through the means of grace. And so we can call the church, in a sense, a hospital. We can call it a gas station. We can call it a repair shop. We can call it a laundromat. Call it whatever you want to help drive home the point that this is a place we want to be as often as we can, to be refreshed by the grace of God and to be reminded of what we have by God's grace, individually and collectively. That means of grace, well, that can be communicated to us in word and in song. But you can't sing worth a hoot. That doesn't matter. Is your heart into it? If you can't sing, carry a tune, focus on the words. I mean, the hymns are meant to be media as well, to build up our faith and to help guide our faith too, not just the readings themselves. And so what a beautiful thing that we can be encouraged in the faith, we can be corrected in the faith, built up in the faith through the word that comes to us in the word itself, the spoken word, as well as through the sung word. May we treasure that always. We have the word of God that can be communicated to all people, again, through word and song, even to people who cannot see, to people who cannot hear. What a blessing it is, again, that God in His infinite wisdom has made it possible for all people with all different backgrounds and all different needs really do have the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus and have that faith maintained and to grow so that their life can run on all cylinders. So let us not write anybody off because the means are there to get the means of grace to all people. Maybe not by us individually, directly, but through others and those avenues which we can support. Now we need to stay connected, or else we're not gonna get anywhere. I mean, have you had those moments in your life when you are feeling sluggish? Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. You feel like you're drifting, you're not running on all cylinders. Well, we'll take a step back and then re-examine maybe why that is. Maybe you're not as connected to the word of the Lord as you think. I mean, there's always going to be room for more connection to the word of the Lord, whether that be contemplating a passage as we're in the garden or driving to work or driving to the store or whatever it might be. And then again, maybe we are really truly connected to the word, Lord, and we're still struggling with something. That's okay. I mean, not to beat yourself up over, but just another reminder to take a step back and Lord, help me make sure I'm looking at your word the way you want me to look at it. And what are you trying to teach me? Because even through that hardship, through that sluggish time, the Lord can be teaching us a lesson. And it's not a lesson to pull away from the word, it's a time to dig even further into the word. Because what does the Lord really want for us? He wants our faith to run on all cylinders, and so He's put before us what is necessary to have that happen. And as we get into His word more and more, what will become evident more and more? The peace of God that He has for us through Jesus. And as we focus on that peace that God has for us for Jesus, Holy Spirit, just let that wash over us again and again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts like an umpire to keep the game moving, to keep our life moving forward and focused and on track. And how often are we to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Not just weekly, daily. I mean, how often does God renew His mercies? His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I mean, there's a reason, too, why our school this year has chosen that theme to guide us through the year, to be reminded of the peace of God that comes to us through Christ and that can wash over us daily. He never runs out. We may not see rain for months. We may not know how to store rain when it comes. But don't equate that with God's mercies ever running short. The grass may go brown, but God has made it possible for our hearts not to turn brown. If they turn brown, that's not on Him. That's on us. not treasuring the peace of Christ that he has made possible and gives to us through his word and sacrament. Not treasuring what he says, the encouragement he gives us to keep your faith running on all cylinders, and I've given you the means to do just that. And as we stay connected and as we grow in our faith so that it can run on all cylinders, we see the benefits that come with that. We then have a faith with distinguishing characteristics. I mean, we can't see your heart, how it's operating inside, but we can see how it's operating from the outside. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Again, we have been chosen to be his own, so we are equipped to do what he puts before us. We have the motive, the love of God, the love of Christ compels us, and we even have the example of Christ who, in the face of difficulty, of people being in his face, responded with compassion and kindness and humility and forgiveness. You know, there are many things that can motivate us to be kind and compassionate, but there's only one pure motive that is desirable, and that is the love of Christ compels us to be these things. And at the heart of putting all these things into practice and treasuring what we have, what attitude is to dominate? One of thankfulness. If we are thankful, what's a natural response? We'll want to live out that thankfulness. We'll give thanks to God. We'll show that thankful spirit and attitude in our words and actions as we deal with others. Not only to the glory of God, but for our own benefit and for the benefit of those around us. And so, clothe yourself. As you put on your clothes each day, even more so, let us always clothe ourselves with such things that come from God. Compassion. Can you put yourself in somebody else's shoes when they're going through a difficult time? Maybe you had that difficult time at one time and you're not there anymore, and someone you come across is going through a difficult time. Can you remember when you had a difficult time and maybe speak less of a harsh word to that person who's going through a difficult time? Kindness. Well, if you're kind to me, maybe I'll be kind to you. These are not conditional, right? This is one we really need to dig deep in the faith that God has given to us, because there are moments and people who will get under our skin, and God, just wash over me and help me respond with kindness. And to help that, humility. I mean, how many of us really don't need to be knocked down a peg on a daily basis? Either we can do it to ourselves, or we can have God do it. God's got a great way of knocking us down when we need it. Not in a vindictive way, but just to remember that it's not about you. This world survived before you. It'll survive after you. But it can't survive without God. And so, Lord, help us be humble. You know, thought just struck me, now that football season has started up, wow, time goes pretty quickly. Maybe you remember the name Barry Sanders. Played for Detroit Lions. A great running back. But did you ever see him celebrate in the end zone? No. He said, act like you've been there before and you're going to be there again. compared to some of the athletes today, it's like they're doing a movie in the end zone. Our gifts come from God. Be thankful, be humble. Which then leads to gentleness. Don't we need more gentleness in our world today? It seems like those who are trying to promote gentleness are really the ones who are promoting hate. God help us focus on if we are responding with hate rather than gentleness. And in some way then, through our kindness and compassion and humility and gentleness, those who say they want tolerance but really are the most intolerant, may they learn what it means to be tolerant and gentle and patient, holding out for something better. And we have that through Jesus. Which then wraps up in the forgiveness. Forgive as we have been forgiven. We may not be able to forget necessarily what has happened, and that can be a helpful tool, but to be forgiving, to be able to let go for our own well-being, which then leads up to bear up with one another. Focus on the fact that you are a brother or sister in Christ, and that we're going to share heaven together. And the differences we have here on earth, may they not separate us from Jesus. We're not talking doctrinal, we're talking petty things. Put such on like clothes, as we said. Now keep in mind, this is not a checklist, but rather proof that we are running on all cylinders. And if that is not there, God help us get back into your means of grace all the more so that we can have our faith working on all cylinders, and then put forth such evidence that it is. Such virtues should just happen. Second nature. And what binds them all together is love. God's love for you, God's love that He puts in our hearts for Himself, the love He wants us to have for others. And so He says at the end, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's really what at the heart of our faith and what keeps us moving forward. So dear friends, while we see the need to keep our vehicle maintained so it can run as designed, and when we notice that it's not, we do something to take care of it, all the more, God help us recognize when our faith is not running as it is designed and get back to the source and stay in the source that can help us get it to run as designed. So that we can grow up in our relationship with God, who is our Creator and our Redeemer and our Provider. So how do you see your faith in the upcoming week running on all cylinders? How are you going to show that it is? God grant us that opportunity to do just that. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in a confession of faith. It's found for us on page 9 from the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end.
Please be seated. We continue with the prayer of the church. It's found on the top of page 10. We pray, Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all that
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. Life is precious. Thank you for the gift of life, able to be celebrated this week as family and friends celebrate a birthday. And since marriage is meant to be a blessing to your creation, guide couples through your word on how to have those blessings become evident in their marriage. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Study taking place today. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke. We have family Bible hour starting at 9:15 in the Luther room, just across the way in the other building. And then thank you for continually filling out the connection cards and returning them either in the basket or in the box on the wall. Appreciate that. And please, again, reminder, as always, look out for a face that you haven't seen before or don't recognize. Maybe you've seen but don't know. Just go up and say hi. And maybe even start a conversation. Jesus Cares is scheduled today at 2 o'clock in the Multipurpose Center. The Victory Service for Anita Ross will take place, Lord willing, this Friday at 2 p.m. here at the church. Music class number 3 of 4, is scheduled to take place this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock in the chapel. The installation of our new teacher, Jody Rowe, is scheduled for next Sunday at the late service. The Rowe family has been definitely engaged in our ministry here already. We're thankful for that. School opening service next Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're welcome to come for that if you want. We have 78 currently enrolled for our school. Thankful for that. We have a meeting scheduled with the core group that is forming the Elk Grove Mission, just to keep you up to date on what's going there. That's scheduled for next Sunday at 1 o'clock, so we ask for your prayers on that mission opportunity. It's just in its early stages. Thank you to all the volunteers yesterday who helped with campus cleanup. And if you weren't here yesterday, again, everybody really plays a part, whether it be through your prayers, your words of encouragement, your offerings, during the year itself, seeing what's going on, telling somebody, hey, this doesn't look right, or it needs to be repaired, or fixing it yourself. So thank you to everyone who keeps our campus looking nice. It does make a difference. We have school families that are not members, and we have community people who come by and they'll say, we appreciate you keeping your campus looking nice, helping this neighborhood stay nice. So thank you. It does pay off. That's one way we can give glory to God, another way. The weekly news, see the weekly news for other things that are going on at church and school. And at this time, we're going to have the Wells Connection for the month. Thank you.
pastors in our synod is an ongoing challenge, made even more
difficult by the large number of pastors from the baby boomer era who are now reaching retirement age. But that just means we need to work a little harder to ensure that every potential pastor has the opportunity to prepare for that calling.
Carl DeMars was a circuit court judge for 20 years, an experience that taught him a lot about human nature.
Nothing comes to court if it's good. We really saw the darkest, saddest sides of the things that can happen in human life.
While he certainly served God during his time on the bench, Judge DeMars longed for the opportunity to work in full-time ministry. So, in his late 40s, he looked to exchange his black robe for a white one as he began studying to become a pastor.
First and foremost is that opportunity to be in the Word of God so much of the time and to be in it with that practical goal of being able to share it with others in the future.
After 2 years at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, Carl DeMars is now in his vicar year, getting practical experience at Living Water Lutheran Church in Oshkosh. There's lots to learn, and nothing replaces the day-to-day lessons of gospel ministry.
I hope people realize this is joyful work. To share the good news of our salvation in Jesus is joyful work, because your job is sharing glad tidings of great joy.
But here's the question I was going to ask you.
There's a new effort at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary to welcome second career pastors with special guidance to help them navigate the process.
If you got the fire in your belly, we want you in this program. Our church body wants to make sure we get every single person we possibly can that wants to be a pastor in our church body. We want every single one.
Men who become pastors later in life get the same rigorous preparation as traditional students, including a year as a vicar, learning from a supervising pastor.
And then Thursday, you're up.
The result is a seminary graduate who knows the biblical message of Christ well and has the added bonus of life experience.
And I think, too, just relating to the people. He's had the life experiences, and he's able to bring that shepherd's heart to the members.
And so he's taking, again, that calmness, that understanding, that listening that he's done from the bench, and now he can add the good news of the gospel on top of that. It's just really rich.
Of course, you don't need to be a pastor to share God's good news. Nearly all of Jesus' disciples were essentially second career pastors. Our Lord can call anyone, a fisherman, a tax collector, or a lawyer.
Jesus is working in our hearts too, nourishing our faith through his word and strengthening it, preparing us for whatever he has ahead for us.
Under a new program at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, non-traditional pastoral candidates can take some pre-seminary courses in advance of their studies on campus. So men who are winding down a secular career can get a head start on their pastoral training. For more information, contact Professor Alan Sorum at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.